Issue 1, reading. On a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 representing zero possibility and 10 representing metaphysical certitude, what is the chance of audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow having something you're interested in? Eleanor Cliff.
John, I think the real question is whether Obama's presidency rings true to the promises laid out in the Audacity of Hope.
Wrong. The answer is 7. Bye-bye.
From the Fatherland, ich heiße Mirko Reinhardt.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From North Mexico Land, I am Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Flyoverland, I'm Stephen J. Ewing.
I'm Eric the Tritko.
Back in control like Muammar Gaddafi, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And cleaning up this mess, I am Ben Sanders. What a way to spend my birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben!
Happy birthday, Ben!
Happy birthday, Ben!
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 74, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like Franklin D. Roosevelt, our beloved 32nd president, we churn out a podcast that will live in infamy. During the show, we'll battle things like polio, the Axis powers, and even a Great Depression. After what seems like four terms, we may even uncover a cohesive, zen-like theme. If things go south during our time in office, we'll demand a new deal. So welcome to Roundabout, everyone! I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for asking.
Did you bring the Ambien since we're suffering from a Great Depression?
I'm in the mood to defeat the Nazis.
Yes, I know. I'm happy.
You're going after Jerry?
I am happy to report that I am back. I was away last week on a Kia event in the Great Dangle State.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
I teed it up for you, Ben, and you couldn't even knock it out of the park. Anyway, I'm back, and so is my laptop, if maybe you saw my Facebook post. The hard drive decided to die. So I'm very happy that it is back and running again. Got a better drive in there. Didn't lose any data either because I back things up. So very important lesson. Make sure you back up your data or you'll be very sad.
We're all so quiet.
In fact, my little fiasco prompted Ben to go out to the Amazon.com. And
I bought a 2-terabyte drive and a 1-terabyte portable drive.
How are you going to fill that space? It's huge.
Well, since I've already filled 500 gigs worth of Roundabout stuff,
I don't think we're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bytes, Ben.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. This isn't the Engadget podcast?
I wish it was.
That is a lot of bytes.
But
I just have to do daily Roundabout.
But I'm really proud of you guys. Eric, thank you for hosting last week. Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Highest
ratings ever, I hear, with me hosting.
Potentially. I'm not so sure, but
let's take your word for that.
We'll go with that. You guys got the show done on time.
And under budget.
And didn't insult me overly, you know, too much. So that's a good thing. My ego is not crying in a corner now.
Like it usually is.
I have to say, so going back to your intro there about defeating the Nazis.
I said Axis powers, Ben.
Yes, well, to me, I always had Nazis. Oh, Jerry.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Oh, we have Mirko on the show. Whoops, sorry.
if he hasn't hung up already, I'm not.
He might have.
You wrote that before we decided on a theme, but it's very appropriate.
Isn't it? He came up with his intro before we. that's everything.
But and our theme is.
Well, I'm getting there, Ben. I just want to say I'm proud of you guys. But what we're
getting somewhere?
Yes. Well, you know, we can just go ahead and tell him what the theme is, I think. Why not? You brought it up.
He's bringing out the paper.
Live a little.
He's bringing out the paper map. He's putting away the telematics.
This week, our theme is Roundabout Rearview, which is a nice look back, a misty-eyed look back at things from the past.
When I go a-motoring in my old jalopy, I think of all our picnics, those Joes show us sloppy. But more than anything, I can't forget you. Here's another edition of Roundabout Rearview.
That really calms you down, doesn't it?
It just brings the whole level,
I like the way Ben just kind of...
Can you see that crooner got, like Just taking a drag on a cigarette.
Well, no,
I
you're
see
like
a 1920s Victrola with a horn, about 12
oh my
feet
God,
wide.
Did you put on your smoking jacket just to record that?
Just for that, Michelle.
Did you put on Michelle's pajama pants to record it too?
Yeah, I'm pretty. I should hope he did not. But again, the theme roundabout rear view this week. We're taking a look back at some, you know, nostalgic topics, as it were. We're going to take a look at yesterday's cars of tomorrow, some things that they used to think would be coming out in the future, way back in the past. Try to wrap your head around that one. We're also going to talk about an automotive instrument in your gauge cluster that is dying a slow and painful death. And
what?
All-
where?
We'll get to that in a little bit here, Stephen. I know. You're on the edge of your
this
seat.
It's called a tease.
We're also going to find out what a share...
That's what they usually call me.
Yes. You're a tease. Oh,
back in the 20s, they call it chasing the cat.
Chewing the rag, right? Got little lung.
Dint on the lung. Spent too much time chewing the rag.
We're also going to find out what the sheriff of L.A. is doing to clean up the streets. All that and more coming up in just a few minutes on this week's riveting installment of Roundabout. I'm pretty sure it's the best automotive podcast around.
I've heard that.
So we've got our typical cast of... awesome automotive bloggers and journalists joining us this week. And we also have a very special guest. He's Skyping in live all the way from Schleswig-Holstein, the northernmost state in all of Germany, which I believe was partly stolen from Denmark in the 19th century. Is he German or is he Dutch? Frankly, we don't know. But one thing's for sure, he is Roundabout's North Central European correspondent, and he goes by the name Marco Reinhardt.
Marco, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Good.
And he is thinking to himself, why the hell did I come on this show?
Are you asleep yet, Marco?
Marco.
Are you sleepy?
Are you sleeping? Because last time you almost fell asleep on us.
He almost fell
asleep. Actually fine.
Good. He did a handful of no-dos and a couple of Red Bulls. Went through Austria recently, so.
What time is it there, Marco?
About 1 o'clock.
Oh God. Well, we'll try to be fleet then. But thank you for joining us, Merkel. You've got some great stories for us from the road, no less. So we will get to those in a shortly here. And, of course, also joining us...
In a shortly?
On the Skype...
It's a Craigism.
We've got Jefferson Ross in Florida.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, great to have you here. We've also got Janine Naranjo.
Shut up!
I thought it was Leslie.
Steven!
I wish it was Leslie.
No, you spilled the beans on that one at the road trip.
I know. Steven actually has a photo of my driver's license.
I deleted it.
No, you didn't.
No, I did.
Selling forgeries. We also got Steven Ewing Autoblog, Eric Tritko from everywhere, it seems. No, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter. Glad we got the whole family
I'm
back
Max
together.
Web.
So... We're glad for that. And, of course, we're glad for Mirko joining us.
Say hi, so it's okay.
Okay.
No, you're cut off.
I just jumped in because I knew Craig was going to roll over me like a...
Steamroller?
Exactly. Like the backhoe that he is.
Are we having all these side conversations for some particular reason?
I think Eric just called you a hoe.
Oh.
Oh, snap. Well, Jeff, I'm glad you chimed in because you've got our first story today.
I do.
So how does this fit in with... our theme this week?
The Roundabout Rear View. Well, today I look at yesterday's cars of tomorrow.
What?
Those crazy automakers back in the 40s came up with wacky designs for Jetson-like vehicles. And this video that we got on Retro Thing shows a couple of them. Including one that's a three-wheeler, and it's very odd-looking. It looks like a tadpole.
The thing I don't understand about the three-wheeler is that they don't show it tipping over.
Like the Reliant Robin.
It's got hydraulic skid plates that go down kind of like a snowmobile.
It apparently also seats four, which has to be the most uncomfortable ride in the
four,
world.
Like on a bench, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, think about it. You're packed in there so tight. You can't really fall out of the car. It's like having a safety restraint on being squeezed in.
In the video, it says that three-wheel design helps add to the safety in the case of a blowout. But
because it means if it blows out, your front end just comes crashing to the ground.
Right, and then you just barrel roll down the interstate. And then the other vehicle that they show in this thing looks like a DC-3 fuselage with four Bugatti wheel wells welded to the side of it, and I'm glad neither one have made it to actual production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you notice, it's in the ahead in the video here a little bit, Ben, but when that car starts coming at you, it's you've got some cottage cheese thighs, as it were, on the front end because of the dimpliness seat right there. It looks like they hand formed the metal.
Yeah.
Listen to this old fashioned goodness here. That's all. It's wasting time on the ground. But being earthbound, the monster is trundled out of the highway to frighten other motorists. Oh boy.
New for 1957.
I thought it would be for 1960.
Okay. I mean, yeah, they said this would be a 1960 okay. model.
I mean, it's really funny because when you think about it, like all of the car sort of themed little Disneyland, Disney World things, they're always in Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're, you know, I guess they don't have anywhere else to put them, but.
Well, I invite you to check out this video. Just hit the show notes on our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can watch this for yourself. It's a little hard to describe in audio form, but it's a pretty good watch, something to check out. So, again, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can see for yourself. You can be the jury.
Oh, you surely can.
Of the craziness.
Yeah. So, well, that was a very special treat, guys, and I'm glad you found that. Ben, I believe you found it, didn't you?
I guess.
just attribute it to Michelle. That's what you usually do.
It's me.
Good job, Michelle.
I'm driving a hybrid.
Michelle.
Janine.
Speaking of retro,
you've got our next article.
It's not
that,
Janine, well, by the
it?
Way.
What is it, Jennifer?
Are you Jeannie
no,
or something?
It's stupidly spelled. It's
Jeannie in a bottle.
N-E. It's Jean, but it's so my name is like, yeah, I have this like Mexican last name, and my parents named me Jean Michel. Like, explain that one. My parents are not French.
It's okay. What would you have rather been named? Like,
they were going to name me Micah.
Oh, for Micah? So, well, what?
And maybe you had a sister named Marble Granite.
Corian. Well, Michelle, you got a little article here. Not so much an article as it is a webpage, but historic gas station photos. What's going on here and why?
Not only is it a web page, it's a web page where the guy has his phone number on it.
Is that a no-no?
Should we call him in the middle of the show? That'd be
fun.
Why don't we? We could call him.
Y'all live on Roundabout Radio.
Well, let's ask him what his favorite gas station is right now.
Well, clearly Red Crown gasoline. Robinson's six-day nonstop economy run.
Well, we do know at the Handy Andy gas station in Portland, Oregon in 1966 that fuel was 32.9 cents a gallon.
Oh.
I think there's a zero missing from that.
I want Handy.
You don't want Handy.
So what have you got here, Michelle?
Handy Andy. Yeah, so it's a collection of vintage photographs of different gas stations from the 40s, 50s, and even the 60s. Oh, there's a couple, I guess, from the 20s, right? But it's kind of, it's interesting to see them. And there's actually a gas station in West LA that is one of these that they've preserved, and they sell 76 gas. And it's the only place where you can go buy that super high octane, like racing fuel that's like a jet fuel.
You said they preserved it. Did they soak it in formaldehyde?
I think they did.
Okay.
That's right,
yeah.
Greg.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
These cute little deco stations, and it's just a nice little collection.
I am freaked out right now.
Why?
Because if you look on the leftmost column, the third one down, you'll see Gilmore 1940.
Is that your car in there?
Yes. 1936 Ford four-door sedan. Mm-hmm.
You should blow this picture up and put it
there
in
you
your
go.
Show.
Cool. Craig, did you know that John McElroy's friend Joe there has written the book about the 40 Ford came on Open Line on Monday night?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I sent him your video so he could see your restoration.
Cool. Well, thank you, Michelle. Driving more traffic to the roundabout.com.
Yep.
Well, roundaboutshow.com, but
whatever. It's
we're splitting hairs at this point.
What are we doing?
Do we have any vintage German photos in here? That's what I'd like to know.
I think these are all Portland area, right?
Correct.
Mm. So nothing from Mirko's neck of the woods, then?
Nothing from anyone's neck of the woods, really.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, right.
I lived in Portland for 6 weeks.
Around.
Did you?
I did. Back in 1997.
Wow.
That was last century.
It was.
Well, keeping our roundabout rear view theme
I actually have a question for Mirko. Mirko, what would a gas station in Germany have looked like in this era? I mean, much different?
You know, I'm born in 1980. Maybe not much different. In some villages, they still have pretty old gas stations. Maybe a bit more cubist and a bit less playful.
More
Bauhaus.
More Bauhaus.
More, yes, to the point. Let's get this over with. Refuel, be done.
It's German efficiency.
No. Well, it's like TDI clean diesel.
Diesel's not a dirty word, Stephen.
Efficient and clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Keeping our roundabout rearview theme going steady. Got the next article here on Hooniverse, our good friends over at Hooniverse.
Craig made a reference to going steady.
We've got a bit of a movie review here, which admittedly makes for a poor audio podcast, but a very interesting article nonetheless. There's a motion picture called The Wages of Fear. And
from, like, what, 1957?
Something like that. I'm looking.
You mean it's not a film by the Bush administration?
Not quite. That's funny. Basically, this takes place in South America, and these, I guess they're French prisoners. It's a French film, and they're in jail. But could be. That Richard Dreyfuss movie?
Steve McQueen?
Well, whoever. That's what I meant. Anyway.
Why does it say, and though in the film stills, no smoking within 50 feet in English?
Why not, Michelle?
Because it's a South American audience.
It says explosives.
Because it's a Southern Oil Company.
Anyway, this is, what's the story?
The movie, again, is called The Wages of Fear. And these, I guess they're prisoners, and they've been sent to rot in this South American jail for the rest of their lives. But they've been given the duty. They can have their freedom if they can drive this truck full of nitroglycerin to, I guess it's a mine, or they need the explosives. And they'll also get paid $2,000 if they can get the truck this 300 miles on a rough dirt road.
$2,000?
$2,000, yes. The problem
That's
is...
That's a veritable fortune.
That's a year's wages, you know?
Wait, Dolph Lundgren?
Sounds more
it?
Like wages of fear.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds like a mission on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Can we use those voices for the rest of the show?
You certainly can.
We have so far.
ye oldie roundabout.
So these guys have been tasked with delivering this truckload of nitroglycerin. The catch is, because of the washboard roads, they can't drive any slower or faster than 40 miles an hour because of a harmonic.
So it's like speed.
Yes.
Except slower.
Except slower.
And with a truck full of explosives.
And without, what's her name?
French.
The girl the girl I hate. Yeah.
Mrs. Jesse.
I hate her.
Mrs. Jesse?
Yeah.
Ms. James.
I don't like her.
So, yeah. And basically, our friends at the Hooniverse did a little review. They gave it 4 out of 5 melted pistons.
Stephen, who doesn't like Sandra Bernhardt?
Sandra Bernhardt. I love Sandra Bernhardt. I don't like Sandra Bullock.
I like Sandra Bullock.
I like Sandra Bernhardt more.
I like Sandra D the best.
Ooh. I like Sandra D more.
I'm Sandra D.
So, Ben, you're playing a little.
Market!
Semi homemade.
You playing a little sample there, Ben?
Playing a little sample here.
All right. Scramble. I'm on the edge of my seat. No, really, I am. Now, Mirko, do you speak French?
No.
Are you sure?
I should, but I forgot everything I learned in school.
But you remembered the English and pretty well.
Yes, but I think that's despite the English I had at school, not because of it.
Marco, didn't you just have to translate your company's webpage into a few different languages?
Yes, but I just gave that to a specialized company that translates web pages. So, and as everybody keeps telling me,
it's called good management.
Yeah. So again, we've got this, the movie is called The Wages of Fear. We found the article on Hooniverse, and if you want to watch that little trailer, you can do so. Hit the link on the show notes on our website, roundaboutshow.com. Mirko, now I understand there's a certain in-car technology that is being killed off or is nearly extinct.
I'm not familiar.
No?
Oh, I am.
He lied.
He's just teasing, that's all.
It's the cassette deck.
The what?
Apparently, the last car available in the US with the cassette deck was the Lexus SC 430, and that went out of production last year. And so if you have a lot of cassettes, you can only buy a used car from now.
What a shame that we don't have that SC-430 in our lives.
Oh. You know,
I would have thought that the Mercury Grand Marquis would have a tape deck.
Well, that's the thing. I saw another article that claimed the Crown Vic, you could order it still with a special electronics, like premium electronic audio package, and still get a cassette premium deck on the fleet only Crown Vic.
So premium. I actually, the funny story, about 2 years ago, when I was still with a different publication, we had a Lexus SC430 in our test fleet, and I drove it home for a night, and I actually dug through some boxes that I have in my closet, and I found an old mixtape that a friend made me in high school, and played it in the Lexus the whole night that I had it.
That's some nostalgia. That's roundabout rear view quality right there.
That's so awesome. You know what's funny about this? Ironically, last night, Miradart was telling me, our friend of Roundabout Show, Miradart, was telling me that he is in the middle of transferring all of his cassette tapes through GarageBand into a format that he can actually put them on his iPod so he can listen to them in his car.
I have over 50 or I can't remember, either 50 or 60 cassettes still in the basement. Wow. And I have a special case, like a two-sided case, so I could put them
tackle
all.
Box.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you have the one that looks like the wine box?
No, I don't have that one.
Mirko, how long ago were these phased out from Europe? I mean, you guys are always ahead of the curve with that stuff.
Oh, I have a really good story about this. Because do you remember mini discs?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Late 90s technology. I have a lot of boxes full of mini discs. In my old Nissan, I used to have a Sony mini disc changer.
Changer?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was stupidly expensive. I bought it, and about 3 months later, the first iPod came out. And I didn't have any money left. So
it was a classic.
No iPod for me.
Classic Sony, they create a format and then won't license it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh. And those, no one ever actually sold music on mini discs, right? It was just like to create your own mixes.
I think at one time you could Sony Music. You could buy.
Oh,
them
you
on,
could. Yeah. Okay, but only Sony.
I believe so. Wow. Again, it was a licensing thing.
The only time I used mini discs was when I was in school, and we used them for
recording.
My
audio
class
recording.
For recording.
Yeah. I never used.
Give
those.
Stains your all.
Yes.
Knock them out.
Exactly.
Whatever your mini fake commercial is. Yep. So. Interesting. Should we have a moment of silence for the cassette?
Oh, I thought you were talking about for the Lexus. For the cassette, yeah.
No, but I'll make you a mixtape.
Will you make me one, Michelle?
Yes.
We should each be tasked with making one for another member of Roundabout.
Like Secret Santa.
There was a website briefly a couple years ago where you could
cylinders.
You could grab like songs from YouTube or a couple other places and put them together, and you could make your own mixtape. No. And it was set up that it looked like an old, like, 70s cassette recorder going or something like that. But it ran into DMCA issues or something.
Of course. You know what we should do?
Government's always in my business.
Send us mix tape CD thingies for the Roab trip this summer.
Oh, yeah. Make us mixes.
Sure.
But now you just have jump drives and auxiliary jacks. And
send us a mix USB.
That we can put on shuffle.
Send us a playlist for my iTunes, and I'll put it on my iPod before we go.
What's an iPod?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have an iPhone.
It's that thing that's about the size of a cassette tape.
Right.
You know?
It's like a Zune, but better.
You guys, I stepped over a homeless guy that was sitting there listening to his Zune yesterday.
Michelle's not calloused.
Wow. Well, that's awesome on 7 different levels.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stepping over things like boundaries, Eric...
Any story that starts with, I stepped over a homeless guy.
Seems like the...
You might need to mark that one.
Simmer down. This is Chucklefest, I know, but we got to keep on task. We're burning daylight. And Ben's got to get to the Apple Store because it's iPad 2 day. Anyway, Eric, speaking of stepping over things like boundaries,
yes.
Apparently Chrysler's new media outlet got in a little hot water.
Yes. As someone who works as a contractor for a social media company, the having the firewall between your work accounts and your personal accounts has never been more apparent than this story, which this broke, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Well, whatever, Wednesday?
2 days ago. Two days ago.
As we record.
Yes. So a person at the company formerly known as New Media Strategies.
I think it's still known as
It's still
Media
known
Strategies.
As that. They still have Honda
it's,
as their
It's just not
account.
Known as Chrysler's social media agency of record.
Yes, agency of record. So one of the people who was responsible for tweeting on Chrysler's account tweeted that for being the Motor City, they sure don't know how to drive around here.
Except they didn't quite say it that way.
Well,
go ahead and say it.
I was waiting for you to insert the horn honk there.
We'll do it in post.
Sure we will.
So what did they say?
Explicit of deleted.
And it rhymes with fire truck.
Yes. Well, if you're in the sci-fi genre on Battlestar Galactica, they would have said frack. And if you were into the
rhymes with trucking or chucking.
And if you were into Farscape, they would have said frelled.
Or tucking.
So what happened here?
So
they dropped
so
the
he
F-bomb,
meant
basically.
So yeah, basically he dropped an F-bomb and he thought he was doing it in his personal account, but it happened to be in the Chrysler's account.
Ooh, sad
which is
panda.
Not a good thing.
He said, "I find it ironic that Detroit is known as the Motor City and yet no one here knows how to f***ing drive."
Benjamin.
I said it. Ben. I said it.
Somebody
said
wash
that.
His mouth
Mark
out.
It.
The bar
we
of
washed,
dove.
Washed it out with Ben and Jerry's earlier.
Is it appropriate that this is attributed to the account of defense, which is something they should be on right now?
You know what's interesting about it is that the Chrysler account on Twitter is actually at Chrysler. That's actually Chrysler. This account was Chrysler Autos. That's the agency. Mm-hmm. Which is completely different.
But to the end user, they don't know the difference.
Right, to the end user, they don't necessarily know the difference. And I didn't even know the difference.
Yeah, neither did I.
Right.
So the end result, still doesn't know the difference.
The end result of the whole
up,
thing
right?
is the employee.
So his bosses came to him and said, "Hey, you know the Donald Trump show? You're fired."
Right, but then.
So wait, Chrysler Autos has their own, like an outside firm, but then Ram Trucks, Dodge, and Chrysler.
That's right.
Yeah, they're all inside Chrysler.
Why?
I don't get it either.
It's okay, you guys. In the end, how hard is it to use Twitter?
Very hard. I don't know.
Apparently.
No, but I guess the whole end result of this thing is that Chrysler is dropping their contract with New Media Strategies now.
It was violated.
Though I have to believe that a lot of people were coming out and saying they ended their contract with NMS because of this, but I think...
New midsize sedan?
This was... Yeah. I think that this was probably more just like the straw that broke the camel's back sort of thing.
Their contract was already being questioned a year ago.
I've not heard a lot of good things about NMS, to be completely honest with you.
And it's not unusual for an automaker to contract out their social media. I mean, GM has done it. They were doing it in-house, and then they brought in...
Yeah, look at that Cruiserati. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mirko, Michelle just mentioned you had your company's website translated into a variety of different languages. Are you in charge of its Twitter account as well? Can we find that on Twitter?
Oh, we don't have a Twitter account. Maybe that's why we are not so happy with our business right now. Maybe we need a social marketing...
Well, what is
whatever.
It that you do again, Mirko?
You need a guru?
Engineering something.
Well, for what you pay in Europe, you could pay someone in America the same amount of money, and we'd be being paid more in America since the euro is still worth more than the dollar, right?
Oh, we're outsourced now?
Yeah, we could be outsourced because of the value.
We're the leading low-cost country.
Yeah.
The economy's
so
depressed.
We could outsource something to America, and you would outsource it to China then?
Oh, no,
genius.
India.
Do you like Indian food?
No, actually, believe it or not, the place where a lot of the stuff is getting outsourced to is Brazil and Paraguay.
Hmm. Well, now you know. Well, speaking of outsourcing, there's a certain gauge in our instrument clusters that are being outsourced. Outsource the hell out of there. Talking, of course, about the temperature gauge, which a lot of new cars don't have.
Including the one that I'm driving right now.
Hey, well, what are you driving right now?
A 2011 Volkswagen Jetta.
I'm cold.
We're going to get to that in a little
what
later.
What temperature
after the break,
is it outside?
When's it going to get warm?
Yeah, I was just,
are we almost there yet?
I was in a Mazda 3 a few weeks back, and it too has, they've replaced the analog temperature gauge with a little blue light that goes out once the engine's, I guess, warm. And it's kind of weird, you know, because you'd think knowing the engine's temperature would be like a critical piece of information when you're driving.
Cool. Yes. I don't know. I just think it shows how far we've come with cars and, you know, mm-hmm. how much more they are consumer devices. You don't have to know how to pilot a car. You should know how, but I think
the issue
just,
is
like, one extra gauge you can get rid of on the cluster. I mean,
the issue, though, is that if you live in a cold weather climate, you want to know when the car is coming up to temperature so you can actually turn on the heater and have warm air blow. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to be one of these douchebags who it's Ooh. 5 below and you jump in the car and you turn your car to heat and you turn the fan on all the way and you wonder, why isn't it warm? Why is my car? Why does it take 10 minutes for it to warm up? Because you're not letting any heat build up in the engine. You know, they don't understand how it works.
I'm sorry, the what?
Well,
yes, exactly.
This is
although there are a couple companies that do have like these auxiliary electric heaters to supplement it until it does come up.
Nissan Leaf,
really? Does it work?
Jean-Michel.
Does it cut your range by 2/3?
Whoa!
I don't imagine this would be a problem for you in SoCal, Michelle, being that it's always warm down there. What's your stance on the death of the temperature gauge? This old-fashioned sort of feature.
It's not something I've ever, when I lived in New Mexico and Arizona, it was something I definitely had to pay attention to. You just don't drive around in an older car and kind of not have to notice that when it gets as hot as it does in places like that. In California, I don't need it. So I don't ever really look.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I was going to Las Vegas in the summer for some reason, it's something that I would probably want to know.
Yeah. Well, I think, like on my Focus, it's an O2. It's got an analog temperature gauge, but it's essentially an idiot light with a needle because it stays in the middle as long as the car's within a certain range, and it'll go to the red if there's a problem with the engine, obviously, and it's overheating.
So right.
There's no like range for it. It's in the middle, and then. That's all you got to worry about.
It's either you're okay.
It's a digital analog gauge. It's either on or it's off.
Basically, it never fluctuates. So I'm sure a lot of cars are like that these days. So why waste the real estate in the cluster? You know,
BMW has no temperature gauge whatsoever. Not a light, not a gauge, nothing.
What is a BMW has no temperature gauge?
What I do like though,
I'm trying to think. I just have a airbag light on all the time.
No, this is something I noticed, and I kind of like this. I was in a BMW last week, the X6M, and it has, in the tachometer, there's, right before the red line, there's like what we call the yellow line, where it's sort of like that you're getting to your peak revs. But the reason why they have that is because when the engine's colder, the yellow is up to like, it's up like
yellow is the new red?
It's like 5,500 RPM, but then as the engine warms up, it'll go back down eventually to about 6,500.
The Dodge Durango I was in recently had a green line.
Hmm.
Oh.
Is that the eco line?
Yeah. Well, I know that's what they
look
used to
me,
do.
Look at me. I'm driving an
EV.
But they used to have a stepped, if I recall, Mirko, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they used to have a stepped red line on the old M3, the S54 straight six. I remember the tachometer actually light up, and it would change as you could go. Higher.
I think the new M3 also has it, and the E60 M5.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing I'm talking about, where it's got the yellow that goes down, but before it was lights.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Evo has that. But
so,
it's lights.
Verdict.
The car formerly known as the Evo.
Are we happy or sad that the temperature gauge
I'm
is on the
sad.
Way out?
Oh,
wow, there's a... You know, first the cassette deck, and now the temperature gauge.
Where does it end? The speedometer is next. No?
No.
No.
Okay, then. Well.
EVs killed the tachometer.
Yeah.
EV.
So did the Crown Vic not having one for, like, 50 years. But, hey, what do we know?
What you gonna do?
Michelle, you got our next article.
or
I do.
Mitchell. Put a T in there.
I do. Yeah, so Los Angeles has actually done something that's kind of interesting. It's called Project Isaiah, and they are taking all of the guns that they confiscate in crime activity, mm-hmm. and they're sending them to a foundry where they are remanufacturing the steel from the guns mm-hmm. into the rebar used in bridge and freeway construction.
Wow.
And it's tens of thousands of guns.
So people come to the station and say, I've got these guns, these weapons, handguns. I just don't want them anymore. Please take them.
So rather than do something like generate revenue by shipping them out of state and selling them at gun shows to...
Or selling them on the black market.
Yeah, and generate revenue for a city that's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. No, just kidding.
Like Michigan?
Yeah, exactly.
Michigan's not a city, though.
It could be.
Actually, Michigan is a city.
Michigan City?
Indiana.
Well, for speaking about the state.
I know. I was kidding.
So, yeah, melting the guns down to make rebar for road
somewhere
construction.
Zach Bowman is very pissed off.
Oh, God. We should have brought Zach on just for this.
I don't really think that shipping them out of the state is really an answer. Like you know, I guess it's kind of the same as if you impound an airplane or a boat or a car for criminal activity and you are taking the raw materials from that and reproducing it into something that you can actually use in your own site, in your own state. I don't really see the difference. I don't know why
because one generates revenue and the other one costs money.
Put out there in mm-hmm. other states, you know.
Do they recycle the wood into like plywood or something, the gun stocks?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is they don't I don't know about the wood part. Gosh, Quaggy.
Maybe it's just a binder for the metal.
Could be.
I know that I can get you a supply of old bowling pins if you want to put those in your fireplace. And they
I
burn
get you an AK by 3 o'clock tomorrow.
And you know what's interesting was Joe, the guy that's written that book about the 40 Ford, was talking about they had a Cash for Clunkers program around the time that the 40 mm-hmm. Ford came out, and they actually burned those cars.
Jeez. Tragedy.
Because there was so much wood in them.
Now, Mirko, as a staunch advocate of the Second Amendment, this has got to get your dander up.
It's a bit more difficult to get guns in the first place here, so I don't think we would recycle them into roads.
Yeah, the government, we know better.
What would it take to own a gun in Germany if you wanted to have a rifle or go hunting yourself, a shotgun, you know?
Go hunting. I think you would have to take a lot of courses on how to hunt and how not to shoot people. And
like Dick Cheney did.
One of my friends did it, but I have no clue what it took.
You're smart enough to know it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go sit in the woods for 6 hours and be bored. That's hunting.
That's hunting.
That's how I imagine it to be. So,
you know what I would rather be doing during those 6 hours?
Even
to get up so early in the morning,
well,
to sit in the cold, out in the woods.
Boiling catheters.
Sleep. And I would rather be boiling.
He takes such good care of
I
me.
I would rather be boiling catheters down to send to Michelle to feed her addiction
and drying and reusing old catheters.
That's why Steven needs to do it to help because Michelle was tired
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it what's the worst step? The boiling, the drying, or the reusing?
Probably the reusing.
Yeah. Probably the reusing.
Yeah. I think boiling. I hate stoves.
You don't like hot things. You're a phobic of them, right?
How does one hate stoves?
Well, keeping somebody just retched again.
The thought of stoves.
Domestic work. Cooking dinner. Keeping the rear view theme alive and well, Stephen, you wrote a nice little piece that ran on Autoblog.
I did.
Today, in fact.
About
our theme nicely.
As we record.
You guys remember Saturn?
Hmm?
Remember Saturn?
The
planet?
Planet?
Rings?
No, the car company.
That's Uranus.
Former GM brand, mostly rebadged European products.
Crap,
plasticky.
Mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Oh, the minivan. the Saturn, whatever that was.
The relay?
Yes.
Well,
that thing was awesome.
Saturn's back, sort of. GM announced that starting at the end of this year, they're going to start selling the Chevrolet Captiva Sport for fleet sales, which is essentially a bow tie badge.
You piqued Mirko's interest.
It's a bow tie badged Saturn View. But GM keeps saying that they just keep telling us that it's, you know, it's a variant of the popular Captiva SUV or CUV that's sold elsewhere, and they're bringing it over here to use for fleet sales. And I just can't help but think that they just have a lot of, you know, old View parts laying around that they need to do something with.
They probably put their stock in making that Buick version, and then everyone said, oh, we probably shouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. So they have all these panels because, I mean, you look at it, it's exactly the same as a View. The only thing that's different is it's got a strip across the grill that makes it look sort of like the Chevrolet cars. But everything else, even the wheels, are directly from the View.
But this is fleet only, right? So we don't have to worry about it traipsing on the Equinox.
Yeah, this is fleet only. But even though it is fleet only, it's still going to be offered. It's going to have a range of engines and all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, three trim levels, leather heated seats. Like, that's
more
why
than
you can,
fleet.
Well, exactly, and that's why you realize that this probably is that Buick that they abandoned because they've got it's basically like a brand new car with a full range of options, of powertrains, and things like that. But it's going to fleet only.
Sorry, I just saw Mirko's last couple comments in the chat.
The chat room is still voting on which is worse about the catheters, using or boiling
or reusing. Sorry.
We'll have an update at the end of the show, which we've decided.
We'll tally your votes and we'll get back to you on that. But
nice.
So you can't walk into a GM dealer, Chevy dealer, and pick one of these views up?
No, you can't. But you can buy an Equinox, which is better and nicer, and has
or a Terrain, which is equally the same,
and the View. I'm sorry, Captiva uses it's the same engines as the Terrain, the same transmission as the Terrain, and the Equinox. So really,
It's really a look back because they had canceled the View.
Yeah, the View died along with Saturn.
It's a view into the past.
It's really a view into the past.
Justin, that's
see what I did there. Anyone see what I did there?
It's the rear view.
Exactly. Well, great
rear
selection
view.
Of stories, guys.
Now I get it.
Rear view. You do it.
Jazz
for
hands,
us live.
Ben. Jazz hands. There you go. Great selection of stories, guys, but we're going to have to take a quick break right now. When we get back, we'll get to our blind spot story of the week. We've got a lovely article written by you, Mirko, no less, about the German horsepower wars that are going on.
By me?
I believe it was you, wasn't
Frau
it?
Frau Blücher!
What the fuck was that?
Is this a story about
German horsepower? No one's seen Young Frankenstein?
Oh, no. Yes, I have.
We will
Michelle
also
got it.
So is this where we team up, hitch up a team of horses to pull semis out? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
German horsepower wars?
Yes.
So we will get to a story about the German horsepower wars. We'll also go in the garage, see what everybody's been driving, and get to a riveting Autobahn anecdote. So don't go anywhere. But for the time being, we need to talk about Audible. So audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Audible is a service. It's a member of Amazon. You've probably heard of Amazon.com.
No.
And it's a great source, a place to pick up audiobooks. Now, I know audiobooks sound boring, but if you've got long commutes, as I do, if you're going on a long flight, these things are great. The books are read to you by professional voice actors, and they really do come alive in their head. I wasn't a believer until I tried it. And what we're doing right now, special limited time offer. If you go to the website, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I'll say it one more time. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. If you go there, you can sign up and get a free audiobook. Nearly anything on the store. And they've got, what, probably more than 80,000 titles now.
More than 80,000.
There is all kinds of stuff there.
All kinds
You'll
of stuff.
You'll find whatever you want. You'll find action.
Whatever
history,
you want.
Fiction. Science fiction. Romance. Anything. Erotica. Just about anything you want.
Erotica.
What do you think, Steven?
Erotica.
So, To drive that point home, each week we like to select one title from audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow to highlight the variety of titles that are available on the site. And Eric, you found this one, a little Cold War thriller.
Yes.
Perhaps our audience has heard of it. If not, you can give a little synopsis of it.
Well, the I have not gotten to this on Audible yet, but this is a book I read back in the day, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of inspired because over last weekend I actually watched Dr. Zhivago, and so it got me thinking about all kinds of old Soviet-type stuff and the Cold War and all that other good stuff. And it reminded me...
Just call
days,
it Cold War good.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, da, comrade.
It has passed into nostalgia now.
Correct. The good old days.
It's like the Great War.
Exactly.
the wonderful war.
That Civil War, right? The Great Depression.
So, anyways, so back in 1984, Tom Clancy wrote this book called The Hunt for Red October, which was so well written and that many people, especially in Congress, of course this tells you how bright people in Congress are, wrote this and didn't think it was fiction. They thought it was a true story about this Russian submarine that had a revolutionary drive that didn't use a propeller. Rather, it had these pump drives that brought water into the front and propelled it out to the back. And it was
like a squid.
Yeah, and so it was near impossible to pick up on sonar. Mm-hmm. And it actually was a very well-written book. You stopped reading when you finished the book. It's how well written it was.
Couldn't put it down.
But it's a movie, right?
Yeah, and it was made into a very poor movie.
We're trying to sell this, Michelle, not water.
I know. So I'm letting Eric tell us why it's better than the movie.
Read it with your eyes.
This was before Alec Baldwin realized that he was only a marginal actor and took himself too seriously. No, I was kidding.
he's a brilliant comedian.
Yes. The movie does have Sean Connery, which is about the only good thing in the movie.
Sean Connery.
Yes. But it's a book about the defection of this Russian submarine and the chase as they...
To find it because they can't...
Correct. And as it comes to the U.S. and tries to come to America to defect. So very good book. It was, and it's very interesting to look back upon that era and see what America thought of how the Soviet Union was at that time. And it's also very good to look at how the U.S. is today and see, is there really that much of a difference?
Mm-hmm. Well, good choice, Eric. Again, that's The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy, and in this case, narrated by a guy, Jay Charles. 16 hours, 47 minutes of goodness, and it can be yours for free if you go to the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Sign up for your free account. Get a free
That's a lot
account.
Of hours.
That's
value for money.
Yeah, when you pick your free book, make sure you don't pick like an hour-long one.
Some memoir, some boring thing, yeah.
This is a $27, well, nearly $28 value if it gives you any clue.
I shouldn't have picked Horton Hears a Who?
No.
Fox and Socks.
Sorry. So again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. We thank them for their support of this fine audio program. And with that, we can move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week, we have an article all about, apparently there are horsepower wars going on in Germany. Mirko.
Yes.
Are you having to go to the bomb shelters for this, or what?
No, not yet. I'm a bit ahead of the horsepower war curve, because... the average new car horsepower in Germany is the highest it's ever been in history, at 133.6 horsepower.
Wow.
That's a lot of horsepower.
Craig.
And that's basically the story. It's the highest ever recorded figure.
Ever, and at 133.6.
Yes. It only went over 100 in the mid-90s, and... 2 years ago, we had this whole cash for clunkers craze, and so it sunk to 118 because everybody bought small new cars with tiny engines.
Opel Meriva.
Smaller new cars, like Kia Picantos with 68 horsepower engines and stuff like that.
You know, this is ironic on many levels. Germany, home of the Autobahn, unlimited speed, and you've got 133.6 average horsepower.
But I think it's one of the highest figures in Europe. I think.
But what's our average, Craig? Do you? I mean, because I know you were wondering. You said it was 219 in 2006. I asked on Twitter, by the way.
That's what I found.
Yeah, nobody seemed to know the answer in the U.S.
A lot more
Colin
than 130.
Byrd guessed 201, but he's made it up.
What's the average on this table?
Well, let's go around. Ben, you got the G6, G8. You've got about...
G8, G8.
Sorry.
What did you call it? The G6, G8?
Yes, I did. Wow.
Don't ever.
Wow.
Is that the one with the surfboard on the back?
Yeah. Let me just go ahead and open up Microsoft Excel.
I have the G8,
GT. Why don't you just open up Calculator?
You're getting a car, and you're getting a car.
Mirko's the German Oprah.
The Jopra.
Does it really have 360 horsepower?
Isn't that a car?
6 liter V8?
I think 364.
Sounds like a car name. But
the GT?
The
really?
2012 I think so. Buick Jopra.
It is the 6 liter.
It is the 6 liter. Yeah, okay, we'll say 360.
I'll confirm while you guys figure out the rest.
Eric, what have you got?
The 1993 Ford Ranger with the 4-cylinder engine with 8 spark plugs. So that's got to be probably, what, 108?
110? 361.
Probably 110.
Probably 110 for the Ranger.
Okay, so we will do Ranger 110.
Craig, how about the Focus?
Steven, what do you have?
I have the 88 CRX SI that has a blistering 105 horsepower.
Ow!
But
wait,
it's only moving 1,000 pounds.
Except for Ben, am I beating all of you guys right now?
Nope. I'm going to win.
Okay.
With my recent acquisition.
Okay. Uh-oh.
All right.
Because my 2.8 has it's like 190 or something.
Hell. All right, 190 for Shelley. All right, Jefferson.
Today I bought a Bugatti Veyron. So I win.
So 1,000?
1,001.
A million.
Billion, bajillion, million. No.
So, yeah, 1,000 horsepower, give or take.
I'm pretty sure that's a lie.
I guess we all need to go work for the Autotropoli since they can afford a $2.3 million car.
The Autotropolisaurus.
We're rolling, y'all.
Rolling in cash.
Wow. No, seriously, Jeff, don't you have a Jeep?
No, I sold it.
Well, what are you driving now? Nothing?
I'm pedaling 2 foot power. For so, my wife's Corolla. That's
we'll
what,
do that one.
I'd say 140.
The
18. Do I win? I win besides Ben.
So you didn't win at all.
Shut up.
You're not the loser.
So just confirming.
And Mirko.
The Pontiac G8 GT from 2009 has 361 horsepower.
All right.
So that's a lot of horsepower.
That's a screw.
Screw you, Steven.
Screw you.
The GT was the only one of the three G8s that I never drove. I drove the V6 and the GXP.
V6 was a
I only drove
take it for a spin?
GT.
Maybe.
Okay, go on.
Do
all
it.
Right, see ya.
So what are we at, Craig? What's the average?
Hold on, hold on. We got to get Mirko and me. So Mirko?
Rear view,
you got
review.
The BMW.
Mirko, we're doing American horsepower.
Oh, I'm just trying to include everyone.
Mirko's not American. Okay. Mirko's not American.
All right, fine. Then I've
He's
got about
probably very happy about
170
that.
For the Fofo.
So when does the Fofo make 170?
Oh, he has the cold air intake and the high lift cam and the high compression pistons.
It's
and
super
the,
cool, Steven. Why and, are you and ripping he, and on the Ford Focus,
man? And he took off the catalytic converter, so he's illegal?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And he uses cruise control.
Oh, and he uses super premium gas, so that's worth half a horsepower.
He burns 99 octane.
It kicked in, yo. All right, our grand average is 179 and 1/3, precisely. Repeating 0.3.
So you're welcome, you guys.
Yeah.
We are fan.
So we are beating the Germans handily.
Do I have the least powerful car here?
No, I think I do.
Well, we put you down for a buck
just
10.
Age.
Of course, this is horsepower, not power.
So I'll be calculating the average German roundabout correspondent number.
What do they call German horsepower? Like Fürdstark or something like
that?
Once more, Mirko?
I call it a... Do it again.
It's Pferdestärke. It's literally the same as horsepower.
You know what I call it when I'm trying to convert it for a story I'm writing? I call it PS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Post-script.
PS, I love you.
What about the Drehmoment? No?
I know. It's PS and Newton meters.
I call it Blucher power.
Well, roll the paper towel over there, Ben.
So, oh, it has 98 horsepower.
Oh, what? I have the second most powerful car here.
So, 98. We're going to go ahead and...
I think, let me...
That drops us to 177 and a third.
And I just realized, I just looked, and mine is actually technically 189.
All right, 189.
Okay. I'm looking to verify. Let me look up.
I think we're splitting hairs here, people.
I think so. We're still in the 170s, which is a lot more.
How do I look up 2003 horsepower figures?
Oh, man.
So it's Wikipedia. Called the internet. So, Mirko, what have you got? You drive a 1 Series with a diesel, right?
Yes, with a small diesel, with 143 horsepower.
And 500 foot-pounds of torque.
Not quite. But it's enough.
Yeah. Plenty of torque.
It's more than you deserve.
Wait a minute.
How can you judge that, Ben?
I may have lied.
I know him well.
I may have lied to you.
You have 110?
I'm not surprised.
I have. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
108.
Like a Honda Fit. How about that? Woo! Oh, oh! So, yeah.
I just found the first drive review of the 2003 Corolla on Car and Driver.
It's riveting. It's riveting.
Oh, 130.
130. All right. So that's.
I was over. Or un, yeah,
you were over. So 176 on the nose, which is still more by my calculations.
Duh. Winning.
But, Mirko, you think Germany has the highest in Europe?
A little tired of Charlie Sheen, are you?
I'm so glad that I missed that whole crap while I was in Geneva.
Doon, doon, doon.
Dead hookers.
That's right.
But Germany...
Oh, my God. You guys, he shot Kelly Preston. I mean, did we not realize this?
Mirko. Did we lose Mirko?
Hello, Mirko.
I'm still there.
I'm still here. I do not know why I have not hung up yet. But you said Germany has the highest in Europe, you believe?
I think it's the second highest. I think Sweden has 10 more. Mm. For whatever reason.
Reservoirat. It's all the dill and the fish they eat, probably.
Dill. Right? It's all the dead hookers.
Maybe.
So, yeah. Very interesting article, and you can check it out on the Auto Bird blog. Mirko Reinhardt is the voice, the reporter on the site of our good friend Colin Bird.
Do you want to hear something interesting?
Grizzly Bird podcast.
Yes. Okay, everyone here except Ben, the 2001 Pontiac Aztec was more powerful than their vehicles.
Thanks for dumping on
us. And the 2001 Pontiac Aztec was also more uglier.
Well, just, I'm also posting the first drive review of the Pontiac Aztec.
Oh.
Great. So with that, we can move in the garage. What's everybody been driving lately? Let's find out.
Can we let the garage open first?
No, Ben decided not to use the new sound effect.
I haven't captured
it. We have a new
yet.
Sound effect?
We have a new
we
sound effect.
We got all kinds of great stuff
wait,
in the garage.
Wait, what do you mean there's a new in the garage sound effect?
No, there's not
silence.
Yet.
So I've been. I had a
silence.
Night. I had a
brought
night.
To you by Audible.com,
audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. But
get it right.
Hairs. I was in the 2011 Scion TC, which you were in a week or two ago. Well, a few weeks back, Stephen. Right?
Months.
And you was well, Eric.
It was yep. December.
Well, not to
just
split
saying.
Hairs. Yes.
It was December.
Oh yeah.
Always got to be right, but. You really enjoyed the car, didn't you?
I did really enjoy the TC.
And Eric, you had it recently as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And you really enjoyed it.
Did you have the manual or the auto?
I had the Turtomatic.
Ah, good. Then Eric and I had the better TC.
Well, I don't know. It'd have to be a lot better than this one to be any good.
I
not a fan
I liked
the TC.
Jeff,
I thought it was
didn't
great.
You like the TC?
I did liked it.
The seats had this fabric print that looked like the carpet you'd find in a casino. Weird looking pattern on it.
It okay. didn't have Berber.
Bubba. The worst clunky automatic. You feel it clunking into every gear.
I believe that.
The manual function was horrible. I don't usually use those, but I started playing around with it. It just shifts when it wants. You step on the gas, it'll downshift randomly. It's like completely
you should have just
useless.
Had the manual.
I agree. But Toyota can't trust you to drive. Figure that out on your own. And other than that, not much to say about it, really. It's not something I would go for. What about you, Mirko?
Do they have Scion over there?
No, we don't have Scions. We have Toyotas, and we used to get Daihatsus, and theoretically we get Lexus, but that doesn't sell.
And apparently, so, reason. In Infinity now, right?
Infinity now, too. They sold 27 cars in January.
Uh-huh. So they're like the Mitsubishi of Europe.
More like a Suzuki.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I am not a fan of this TC. So, there you go. Agree to disagree, Steven.
I will agree to disagree.
Even though you're wrong.
I'm right.
So, Mirko, you were in something you didn't like either so much.
Oh, it was okay. It was better than the other cars that we stroke from the list earlier.
What were you driving?
I was in the Opel Meriva, which is something about Scion XP sized. Hmm. A short, tall, hatchback, wagon-like thing with suicide doors.
Awesome. Love the doors. Yeah, love the doors.
Love those doors.
Me too.
It's the only reason to buy it, I suspect.
Yes, it wasn't bad, actually. It has pretty good seats. It's very slow with the base engine this rental Meriva had.
What are the specs on it?
It's 1.4, I think, 100 horsepower and zero torque. So you had to just drive the hell out of it, and it wasn't going anywhere.
Wow.
But it was okay. I only had to drive it 400 kilometers through Hungary. And
now, I understand when you were in Hungary, you got accosted by some weird-looking people.
Yes.
Some folk festival going on.
Yeah, it was I was there last week, and they had something called the Busho Festival, which is their method of ending winter. They all dress in sheepskin and have weird masks on and helmets with horns and cowbells on their on their costumes. And
I got a fever, and what you need is more cowbell.
This is Halloween. Exactly. This is Halloween.
So, well, we'll probably hear about that in a little bit when we do Audubon
Halloween,
anecdote. But
Halloween.
It sounds like it certainly was a story, all right.
It was. It was quite interesting. So the Opel Meriva. What I did like the doors, the seats. What I didn't like the electric handbrake and the engine. Mm.
Just being low on power, basically.
Low on power. You can get something better. I looked it up, but not in the rental Meriva. Mm.
And what is the fuel consumption on that?
About 30 mpg for mostly highway. Ew. And that's not impressive for a car this size.
Did it have that big glass roof like the one that Ben is showing on the video right now?
No, it didn't have the glass roof. It didn't have the nav. It didn't have this large display between the speedo and the tech, but the rest was about the same.
It didn't really have an engine either, so.
No.
It had something that made noise and vibrated under the hood.
Two hamsters running in a wheel.
Yeah. All right.
It didn't vibrate too badly. It didn't
What's
make a lot of noise.
The center console slides?
That's actually interesting. That was a multi-layered center console on actual metal sliding something
tracks.
You could.
Like little tracks.
It's like you could get, yeah, it's a similar system as in the Countryman, but it doesn't go all the way back. And you can slide the outer seats diagonally back, and then the middle seat disappears, and you have a lot of leg room. Hmm. It's
interesting that the back seat doesn't do that annoying two-third split. It's actually split into thirds.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, but. I was alone in the car. I didn't care for the backseat much. Only opened the doors because I thought it was awesome. It had suicide doors.
So cool. I wish they'd have those
yeah.
on more cars. But Mirko, thank you for the Opel Meriva. Meriva, that's it. Eric, right, you were in something with European flair, or in it right now, as of our recording.
An American, a German car for America built in Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cosmopolitan is what you call that.
Exactly. How eclectic.
Yes. It's the, it's the 2011 Volkswagen Jetta. Hmm. SEL. Hmm. Five-cylinder, five-speed.
Ah.
And, yes, you can say...
Stevenson, you were...
Well, here's the thing. Yes, the styling is, you know, a little less than exciting.
The it's still a handsome car.
It's not bad looking. It's just, you know...
It's just...
Doesn't come and smack you in the face.
Yeah. It's like a loaf of bread. It's just kind of there.
I would say it's better than a loaf of bread, but okay.
Have you ever had bread? It's totally
like
hard.
Really good bread.
Yes.
I can't have bread. I'm on a gluten-free diet right now.
You've got celiac disease.
It's like Zinger. It's not like Zingerman's bread. It's like Wonder Bread.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Gotcha. The interior definitely could use some upgrade in the material quality. I will say that. But I actually found it very. It's kind of fun to drive. I would describe it as plucky.
See, I get annoyed when people bitch about the Jetta's interior because
it's not that it's
$2,000 off its price.
I know, but I'd rather split the difference. To be honest with you. Because having just been in the Elantra had a better interior. Now, I'm not exactly a fan of the telematics in the in the Jetta either, but and their user guide, the user manual is anything but helpful. Yeah, is anything but helpful. So, but overall, I like it. It's fun. It's got good power. It's got it got 34 miles to the gallon on a 40-mile highway loop. So it's
Better than the Mariva with a 1.4.
Well, it was actually better than the Elantra that I got that supposedly gets 40 miles to the gallon because I never got even close to 40 miles to the gallon in the Elantra. So,
VW Jetta, not so bad.
No, and it's it,
so bad.
I know.
Wasn't that Buick's tagline in the 80s?
Here's the thing. As much as the journalists don't like the Jetta, it is selling really well. This has just come out. Of course, it's new, so it probably is refreshed and people buy it. And everyone who buys one seems to really, really like it based off what I've seen from dealer feedback. So, anyways. Well,
Stevenson, you were in something of Volkswagen that's
considerably spicier.
And you drove this in Europe.
I did, when I was in Geneva for the Motor Show.
Already posted the review on the Autoblogs?
I did. You can check out my full review of this car on Autoblog. It's the Volkswagen Golf R. We drove Eurospec versions, which is sort of sad. Because the American version isn't going to be
quite as
good. It's going to be slightly less powerful, and we're not going
to crap tires, crap motor.
We're
crap
not going to get the DSG. We're not going to get the suspension though is fine.
Okay,
we don't need the adjustable suspension because sport mode's a little much, and comfort's just sort of lazy.
But it was beautifully written, Steve, and I felt like I went on vacation in the Alps with you, even though you left me at home.
Oh God.
Oh. Did we get the VR6?
No, it's the. What do you mean, boom?
I love the power Ryan Motors.
You like the extra 300 pounds like hanging out over the front wheels?
Dude, they cut 250 pounds out of its front end by adding the 2OT.
But you don't have the nice sound.
Yeah, you do. This car sounds fantastic.
Clearly, someone has never heard the VR6.
I drove an R32.
What do you think about that, Mirko?
I drove an R32 when it was new a few years ago. I loved that car. But the Golf R with the 2.0 turbo is so much better. The use of the torque, the fact that it doesn't plow into a corner at all.
The 2-liter turbo is awesome.
And it's
what's the output on it?
The Euro one is 270. The one we're getting is going to be closer to 256.
What kind of Volkswagens do pirates drive?
Golf R's.
Like the Yaris.
No, the Golf R is awesome, and it's coming to America later this year. Like I said, manual only.
Good.
Both two door and four door.
Isn't it kind of like the number 13, the letter R? Like, shouldn't everybody there shouldn't be the Mercedes R class. There shouldn't be this R. There shouldn't be the Renault R Spass.
Oh my God.
Right?
Well, apparently R means
racing.
Fast.
Really fast.
Yeah. Really, really fast.
Price tag, do they give you an idea what it's going to be when it comes
to
the U.S.?
They said that they want it to be around where the R32 left off, so they're looking at low 30s.
That's still a lot.
Well, it's a lot, but here's the thing. And
a GTI is 25, 26.
They're targeting
$1, 30,000 times.
No, they're targeting the Evo and the STI with this car.
That's a lot of dollars.
And those go for like 40.
Right. But at the same time, you could look at a Subaru WRX, which is just as powerful, has all-wheel drive, and it's a few grand less. But the Golf has a much nicer interior. It looks better. It has more premium content, standard, and you can get it as optional. And the content that it does have is better. I would honestly spend the money over a WRX to get a Golf R.
I always wondered who would buy like a STI or an Evo for that price over like a Mustang GT.
Someone like you're me.
The tuner crowd.
I don't know. That's just always...
See, a Mustang, I mean, it's... Oh, the argument I've had a thousand times, which is I have no use for a Mustang. I'm just not that kind of
person. Because it's got a solid rear axle.
It's not even that. It's just I don't...
You don't like the body style.
I don't like coupes. So much in terms of a car I would own, I want something that's functional that I can put stuff in. I want something I can drive in all four seasons.
I would rather have a five liter Mustang.
The Mustang's not, you know, like tossable and, you know, just kind of you can fling it around like a hot hatch. It's a big, heavy Ford. And while it's a great car, don't get me wrong,
it's not for you.
It's not for me. I would so much rather have a Golf R.
Yeah. Well, moving up in price range and in size, Jefferson. I understand you are in the Jaguar XJ.
The XJ supercharged.
Oh, my.
But that's wait, you have to preface this by what you were in right before this, because you were in a refrigerator.
Have people told Jeff he shouldn't play in refrigerators so he can suffocate?
No, he was in a Sienna.
It was in front of my neighbor's driveway, so I said, this looks fun, I should crawl in it.
It's a spaceship, everyone!
Well, you know, it will protect you from that nuclear explosion.
Nuclear.
Fun fact, and you'll like this, Craig.
Yes, Ben.
The original time machine in Back to the Future was going to be a refrigerator. Can you imagine you that instead of a DeLorean? Time
well, how would you do 88 miles an hour in a refrigerator? That's just stupid.
You wouldn't. It would just like fall over and...
Bill and Ted's excellent.
Nothing will ever replace Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine.
So Jeff, Jaguar XJ.
That would be so bad for kids because they would get in refrigerators and play. Yeah,
shouldn't get in refrigerators, kids.
Jaguar XJ. My daughter told me the other day she got in a refrigerator and I was like, no!
Is that what kids are doing these days?
So Jaguar XJ.
Does anyone remember the Punky Brewster episode?
You lose right there. For Punky Brewster.
You lose.
You know what he asked me yesterday, guys?
No, I didn't say lose.
Okay, hold on, Jeff. You know what he asked me yesterday? Craig, have you heard of the Munsters today?
Or the Munsters?
And I said,
the Munsters today?
No. And apparently none of you have either, so I'm not
Munsters?
Crazy. Today,
the
Munsters
today,
the
90s version of the Munsters?
Oh, apparently there was one.
We went to sleep many years ago. We woke up with a brand new show.
Jaguar XJ.
Supercharged.
Supercharged for 2011, the Jaguar XJ.
It's like that never happened.
You know, funny how that works out. Jag XJ.
Supercharged.
Not only was Jeff in the XJ, but Jeff actually took a friend of his wife's car shopping in the XJ because she couldn't decide between a Wrangler and a 3 Series BMW.
Yeah, we need to get this girl on the show for our pointless advice column or whatever it is.
Unsolicited advice.
Pointless advice. I'm roundabout.
Okay, Jaguar XJ.
Supercharged.
And now we've got some tales from the open road. We're never going to get through this.
No, I've had it now for 2 weeks.
This is a long-term loaner.
No, well, the Amelia Island concourse is going on, so they just let us keep the cars an extra week. But I love it. Like,
is it the regular or the long wheelbase?
Regular. This thing is so fast for what I'm assuming is a 6,000-pound curb weight. It's got to weigh an ungodly amount.
Actually, it's just a hair over 4.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that heavy.
This thing is huge.
Well, it's made of aluminium.
They use quite a bit of aluminium.
Aluminium. How's the drive?
It's a carburetor.
This is the car of the future today, guys.
Carburetor.
It's got a cool ride, but my favorite thing, it's got a dynamic performance mode. It turns all the gauges red, but it makes it really fast, and it gives it like a cool exhaust baffling which...
So it sounds nice.
Does it baffle your mind?
Yes, it makes me drive the car really hard, and I've been averaging about 9 miles per gallon on premium, too. So.
Oh!
That's awesome. Oh.
If anyone wants to donate to the Jeff Jaguar Fund, call 1-800-JEFF-NEEDS-MONEY today. Well,
what else don't you like about it?
Not much. Oh, I didn't say... That's my fault. This thing's rated at like 15 city.
Oh, that's a big improvement over 9. Yep.
So the curb weight is 4,172 pounds.
Pounds sterling?
No, just pounds.
Okay.
But it's really
How
cool.
Many
Everyone
is that stone?
Everywhere I go, like people look at it. I drove it to Pontevedra, which is a very upscale neighborhood of Jacksonville. And, the people there drive Lexus LSs and Mercedes S-Classes, and I was getting a lot of looks.
Wow,
so,
look here.
It's good for Jaguar.
All right. Well, it sounds like you really like it, Jeff.
I give it 1 Jeff up.
And, of course, you know what that sound means? It's our level up time. That makes no sense. But now it's time for some Tales from the Open Road with Autobahn Anecdote.
Geschichten aus der Ofenstraße.
Loses a little punch the second time around. Autobahn Anecdote is all about what Mirko has seen during his travels crisscrossing the European continent, from weird sightings in Hungary to the stupid things Austrians do. So, Mirko, you just had a 1,000-mile road trip across continental Europe recently. And
yes, I had, in a Peugeot expert van, which was screwed together by people who were not experts in building cars.
In using screwdriver technology?
Yeah, it was just a rattly mess of parts that were connected together somehow.
Did you find some Galois underneath the seat?
No, but I found some business cards of financial advisors under the seat.
Oh.
Bernie Madoff.
Interesting touch.
Yes. So, Peugeot van.
Yeah, the weirdest thing about driving in Hungary is that you would imagine the roads to be not brilliant, but they are. They have all new, perfect, glass-smooth, straight highways with huge rest areas and brightly lit tunnels, and everything is like you would imagine German autobahns to be, just without the no speed limit part of it. And that got me into a bit of trouble the first day I drove there, because they like to write you speeding tickets.
Do they? And they probably target foreigners, don't they?
Yes. On the first day there, I saw a police car on the side of the road, didn't think anything, and on the next exit they pulled me out, and there was a row of cars with German and Austrian license plates on the side of the road, and
broken down.
So in other words, it's like Michigan people going into Ohio.
Yeah, that sounds about
maybe
right.
Maybe.
Or anybody people going into Ohio.
They took my papers, took about half an hour to...
Were your papers in order?
They didn't really speak German or English or anything. They had a little book with everything they wanted to tell me in 5 languages. And nice. They just pointed to that book, and one of the cops wrote 94 and 80 on a piece of paper. And half an hour later, they gave me a little green ticket and asked me things. They asked me my name, where I live. And
because that sort of stuff wouldn't be on your driver's license, right?
No.
Of course.
Then he asked me mother name. And I thought, what does he mean? Family name? And then he said, oh, Lisa, Sandra. Okay.
So literally your mother's first name.
That's I think he was trying to get your password.
Maybe he wanted to call my mother and tell her I was speeding in Hungary.
And he said,
first pet.
First name. It's like, what's your mother's blood type? It's like, what?
I wouldn't have known. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's a field for it somewhere. Anyway, I had to pay 20,000 forint. And they didn't, wasn't able to pay on the side of the road. They told me I had to pay in the post office.
Naturally.
Post offices in Hungary are staffed by people who aren't allowed to speak any foreign languages, so...
But you're fluent in Hungarian, I understand.
Yes, but I didn't want to intimidate the locals by showing them I know the language.
Because you don't.
No, because I don't. Yeah, it was interesting. 20,000 for rent is a lot more than you... it's a lot less than it sounds like, but it's a lot more than you would pay for.
How many euros
over
is that
in Germany? It's 70 something euros.
Wow.
And in Germany, I would pay 15 for a bit over the speed limit.
You speed in your country.
Yes. So it's kind of insulting you got this infraction, this citation in a utility van, you know?
Yes, it was. But. Even that is fast enough to break the speed limit in Hungary.
Mm-hmm. So Hungary is not part of the EU then, so they're out to get you. They want those euros, right?
It is now.
Hmm. But why are they on Frankensteins or whatever they're called?
Frankincense, Greg.
That's where they have the money from to build their nice highways.
Like ripping off all the foreigners.
Exactly.
Brilliant. So what were you going down to Hungary for, exactly, if we can ask, if we can pry?
That's,
the pizza.
To get
food.
No, it was for doing business. We are running a pilot test at down there or whatever I do for money.
He forgets.
We can't speak of it, though. It's just inappropriate.
I will have to go down there a few times. Maybe next week.
Oh, geez.
Maybe the week after that.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it.
You are? It sounds like a pretty enjoyable drive, at least, you know?
Yeah, yes. That's quite... The last... the 1,000 miles I wouldn't like to do again, but the part from Vienna to Mohacs is quite nice, actually.
Yeah, because you're crossing through Austria. It looks like the big country you hit on your way to Hungary. So.
Yeah.
Any other riveting stories from the drive?
Yeah, when I arrived in Mohacs, which is the town in Hungary I did some business in, I noticed that there were a lot of Soviet-era, socialist-era cars. Ladas and Polish-made Fiats and a lot of Trabants.
Oh, your old friend.
Okay, Trabis. Yes. But all of the Trabants were the Trabant 1.1 version, which isn't a version number, but the displacement of the engine, which they had, which IFA, which was the company that made the Trabant, bought as a license from Volkswagen and to battle the Western capitalist pig cars.
If you can't beat them, join them, right?
Exactly. The Trabants were made from 1964 to 1990. With a two-stroke, two-cylinder engine, and they felt in the 80s that maybe they could have a new engine. And so they licensed something from Volkswagen and took them from 1984 to 1990 to tool up the production of this engine. And then they started the Trabant 1.1, but the little problem
then
was...
Then came in a spell.
Yeah.
That's, as history books will tell you, it wasn't really... so easy to sell a Trabant with a Volkswagen engine in 1990 when you could just buy a real Western car.
Well, you know Volkswagen's reliability issues.
Maybe a Trabant's easier to keep up.
Yeah. Well, Right Knight in the chat is asking if you saw any Tatras when you were down there.
No, not a single one.
No?
Last time I saw any Tatras was in 2001 in Prague.
Mm.
But... outside of the Czech Republic, you don't see Tatras really.
That's interesting. You think they'd be they're European. You think you'd see them elsewhere, but
rich Hungarians, they all drive Bentley Continentals and S classes with huge exhaust systems, and those people are allowed to speed on the Hungarian highways without being stopped by police.
Got to get a little Hungary sticker to plaster on your plate.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably violate some Interpol law and get arrested, but hey.
I think you could just bribe them.
Now, do they do this while wearing demonic sheep costumes?
I would think so.
The police didn't wear sheep costumes, but everybody else on Friday evening. And everybody was drunk. Yeah, that's what Hungarians look like.
It's like Oktoberfest. But yeah, there's the folk festival that they had where you mentioned earlier they're trying to scare away winter.
Yeah, they tried to scare away me too. But it didn't work.
They scared money out of your wallet, but you're going back, so they failed.
And you sent us some pictures.
Yes.
They wear sheep costumes with these like evil, they almost look like samurai masks actually, and sort of demonic horns twisting one way or the other.
So. Quite creepy, and lots of artificial sheepskin.
You sure it's artificial?
I'm betting it is.
I don't. That looks. No, it's not artificial. That's real mohair. Like the guy on the right with the long stuff. That's like, yeah. There's sheep that have long hair like that.
Agree to disagree, Michelle.
Oh, cracky.
So thank you for your Autobahn anecdote.
Work that.
You're welcome.
It's very interesting. You have to keep us abreast of your travels, Mirko.
Yeah, I hope I travel somewhere else eventually and not over to Hungary. Not that the Hungarians aren't interesting and nice people, but...
They're not.
Some of them are, some of the time.
Maybe you can get to Slovenia or something. Croatia.
Slovenia. That sounds like the speed limits there are not so great either.
Well, next up, we got to round this show out here, so we're going to do a stupid car trick before we say goodbye, Ben.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Go on now.
So, Jeff, we found this video on Street Fire, and we put your name next to it. This has Jefferson Ross written all over it. And I hope you've had a chance to watch it.
I have.
Why don't you tell us what's going on here?
I actually don't know. I mean, this guy, he's driving down the street in his little red Wrangler, and he pulls into his driveway. I don't know if he thinks his car has, like, some auto stop thing or what he thinks is going to happen, but he gets out with the vehicle still moving, and, of course, an object in motion stays in motion. His Jeep runs into his garage. Mm-hmm. And everyone, or
are
the
you
guy
sure
taking
it's his, or it's not his parents.
it was funny watching.
It doesn't make sense why he got out of the car. Way too fast, and then it just coasts into the garage.
I don't know if maybe he thought it was going to stall and then come to a stop, or what this guy was thinking, but. The guy was videotaping him coming down the street, so they must have planned it. And he
was ghost riding the whip.
And then would someone say he wasn't ghost riding? He was ghost parking.
Ghost crashing.
You don't. When you're ghost riding, you keep it in gear. You walk next to it. You run around it. You do all sorts of stuff. You don't let it plow into a garage.
Pretty lame.
That's just not nice.
Ghost laming.
Oh.
Ow.
He's probably from Florida.
Yeah, the sun is shining. Wouldn't doubt it. Looks pretty flat.
There's trees.
Yeah.
There are palm trees.
Did this make you angry, Jeff, being a Jeep fanatic?
it showed the integrity of a Jeep Wrangler. I mean, it can drive into a house.
Well, my Focus could do that,
I'm
pretty sure.
I believe if I see the front plate correctly, it's actually California. But I know that.
It stupid doesn't discriminate, Eric. Based on location.
From sea to shining sea.
It was someone probably in Orange County.
Yeah. So if you want to check out this person's hilarious idiocy, you know what to do. Roundaboutshow.com. Check out the show notes.
If anyone in California can run the plate 6EFP449 and let us know.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal or something. But
well, we might have some cop friends on the show.
Yeah. Who knows?
Calling cars.
Great job, guys. I think we can wrap things up for this week. Another roundabout is in the can, so to speak.
Down the pooper, perhaps?
Potentially. No. Eric Tritko, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yep. I'm Max
Webb.
What's going on?
Just trying to catch up after a very, very long week of crisis management.
Oh, dear. I'm you dropped the F-bomb?
No, I was just managing everyone else's crises. Their lack of planning became my issue, so, you know.
Okay.
But these are the fun things when you start, you know, taking
working
on lots of clients. Yes. So yes, real paychecks require real work.
Funny how that works out.
Yeah, I know.
So rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yes.
Stephen Ewing from autoblog.com.
Did you catch that all? Autoblog.com?
That's me.
Is that a website?
Yeah.
Yep. What's new in your world? Just got back from Geneva. I'm sure that was a nightmare.
Back from
Geneva. Based on all the work you had to do. I'm sure it was a nice trip.
It was busy. Travel is travel, and then I quickly turned around the Golf R review that you guys can read.
Like a ricocheting bullet.
We just got... just got our new long-term car in the Autoblog garage.
What would that be?
It's a 2011 Hyundai Equus.
EQs.
So you can... I'll be posting the intro for that car in the very near future.
Okay. Well, look for that on autoblog.com. Riveting. A wonderful source for the latest in automotive news. Michelle Naranjo. What's her name-o?
That's me.
Or Jean-Michel.
Does she cover the automotive world obsessively?
Not as obsessively as she perhaps could, but she's Miss Motormouth on Twitter and Miss Motormouth.
Craig, you have improved, and you want me to improve my performance somehow?
Sure. I guess.
He wants you to be Miss Motormouth R.
R. The R edition.
R. Spec Miss Motormouth.
I want her to have a patch and have a claw for a hand.
R.
It was a German R.
There it is.
What is new in your world, Michelle?
Let's see. I got the unfortunately belated call this morning that they found me a truck in Spain to drive in gazelles, but unfortunately Ford was too late. It's 2 weeks after I could do it, so
so that's a no then on the gazelles.
That's a big no, but they're cool with next year. So
yeah, just like last year they were.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Right,
you should just make a trip to Spain and drive it now. Have your own gazelles, the Michelles.
Michelle.
I love it.
Well, Michelle, MissMotormouth.com, MissMotormouth on Twitter. Thanks for your participation today. We appreciate it.
Yep, and Open Line on Monday.
That's right. Open Line. It's also another member of the Autoline family of fine programs.
Mm-hmm.
What is Open Line, Ben, in case some of the first-time listeners aren't familiar? Just give them a quick synopsis.
Open Line is our anything goes, almost anything goes, automotive talk on Monday nights that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it goes till whenever all of us get sick of talking about cars.
Which is pretty soon.
You can call in, you can listen, you can chat, whatever. Talk about whatever you want. You decide.
You be the jury.
We hand it over to you. Mm-hmm. So you can find that at bit.ly/openline.
Or
bit.ly
Monday nights on autolinedetroit.tv.
Yes, Eric.
Sorry, I forgot to plug one thing.
Oh.
You had your allotted time.
Yeah. Okay. I am participating in the Detroit MS Walk on May the 7th, and if anyone would like to help my achieve my fundraising goal of $500, I would like to raise more, but I have a goal of $500. You can check that out at bit.ly/DET MS Walk.
Craig, you spelled out slash. That's not what he meant.
Did you do another video this year for them, Eric?
I did not do one for them this year. They decided not to do one this year for MS Awareness Week.
How do you donate? Where it says donate to Eric?
Yes, where it says donate to Eric.
Let's enter a surprise amount.
Yes. So, anyways, that's May the 6th. You can donate between now and May the 6th. Actually, I think it's May the 5th.
Now, this goes to a good cause,
yes.
Right?
Yes, multiple sclerosis awareness.
What about the singular sclerosis?
Yeah, well, no, we're not concerned so much with that. It's the multiple issue.
Donate. You know you should.
Yes.
And that address again.
Or we should steal someone's credit card number.
bit.ly/DET. MS Walk.
All right.
Do it.
Debt
do it.
Walk.
I am doing it right now.
Typing away.
We're all donating.
I yelled at for typing too hard, so I can't type.
So did Michelle.
And
so.
anyone who does, you'll get a personal note from me via email or Twitter, email or Facebook or however.
How about an autographed photo?
Yes,
I think that would be.
I don't think anyone really wants an autographed photo.
I want a headshot.
I at least want a handwritten letter.
Will you be my pen pal, Eric?
Can I handwrite it and scan it and email it to you?
Nope.
Okay.
You can snail mail it.
I want
and I prefer overnight delivery.
You know, I wish that I... This brings up a good point. I wish that I had a legitimate pen pal that I could, like, write words on paper to.
Mirko.
That's and what prisons are for.
I miss my grandma because every Sunday that was what I did was I sat down and I wrote my grandmother a real letter.
I don't want to be one of those
dear
inmate
Grandma
whores,
Eustace.
That was right after I churned butter.
Michelle, we should mail each other.
So to speak. Anyway.
Snail mail each other.
So I believe we were talking to Jefferson Ross next from the Autotropolis.
What are you up to?
Tomorrow and this weekend, I will be covering the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance.
Sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bobby Rahal's there.
Yeah.
Who?
Richard Rahal.
So that sounds cool.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun so far today. I get to drive some cool Mercedes products. Tomorrow's Porsche and hopefully Bentley.
Nice.
Riveting.
So I should have a lot of pictures up on my Facebook page.
And what about Autotropolis? Can we look forward to any articles there?
The Tesla story should be coming around soon.
Okay.
Tesla Roadster Sport.
Craig, in a related matter, we just got an incoming call.
Let me finish
from the past
with the wrap-ups here.
No, I think it's a related matter,
okay.
Craig.
Go ahead then, Ben.
Okay. Hello, you're on Roundabout Radio Live.
Coolest voicemail ever, guys. Name that exhaust note.
Jaguar XJ supercharged?
Sprinter?
I can tell you someone needs a new phone with a better mic.
Is that the SLS, Jeff?
The winner
is Steven.
Is the Mercedes SLS. Thank you for playing.
Thank you for that, Jefferson. Very innovative. Very innovative.
Good job, Steven.
Yes. Yes. So Jefferson Ross at autotropolis.com. And, of course, we got to thank our producer, Ben Sanders, for getting this show done, edited on the weekend, and posted.
Birthday Ben.
And Mirko.
Happy we haven't forgotten about Mirko. Don't worry. Ben, you have a birthday coming up. We wish you a happy birthday and many more.
Happy 40, Ben.
Okay.
And last but certainly not least, our North Central European correspondent from the little hamlet in Germany. We have Mirko Reinhardt joining us right now.
Yes, and next thing I'll do is go to bed.
Notice you use the correct preposition.
You fall to bed.
No.
Fall. Mm-hmm.
Well, guten Nacht. Or actually, guten Morgen.
Abend?
No, actually, it's
Morgen.
Guten,
yeah,
it's guten Morgen over there.
And something in between. It's 2:30.
Oh, dear.
2:22.
Well, Mirko, thank you so much for your dedication. Great job. Great stories from your road trip there. We do appreciate it. So, good
You're
time.
Welcome. I'll try to take the next road trip in another direction to make it more interesting.
Go to Bordeaux, France, and get us some wine.
He doesn't drink, Mirko. Don't bother.
Doesn't he?
No.
Yes, he does, but...
No.
It would be quite effective.
It would be a good... be a cheap date, right? So thank you, Mirko. We appreciate having you on. I'm glad you could make it all the way from Germany.
And follow his stuff at autobirdblog.com.
That hamlet of all things automotive and bird-related. It's an aviary.
Unless bird-related.
Yes.
Watch us live every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 3:30 p.m. Pacific at roundaboutshow.com. Another important announcement to make. Jim Hall, the one and only analyst from 2953 Analytics, will be joining us next week.
Next week. And I hear he is quite excited.
He is
quite. Oh, calm down, Jim.
That is
unlikely
to happen.
But he's trying to hold it in.
Yes, he is. We will be debuting a new segment with Mr. Hall, so look forward to that. Yes, that is a lot of analytics. So we'll have Mr. Hall on again next week. It will be an awesome show, I can assure you. If you want to leave us, get in touch with us, you can leave us a message on our Google Voice number. The number to call is 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, that is 1-559-762-2411. Leave us a message. We would love to hear from you. Also, we've got we can't forget about our Roundabout Emporium. You can buy all kinds of great Roundabout branded stuff in there. If you're looking to get to the site, you just go onto our website, roundaboutshow.com. You'll notice in the sidebar on the right-hand side, right over there,
Little bill, y'all.
Little dollar sign called Roab Emporium. Click on that. Takes you to the storefront. You can buy all kinds of great stuff. Beer steins, coffee mugs, stickers, hats, shirts, sweaties, sweatshirts, whatever.
Sweaties.
Good stuff.
Buy stuff now!
Thank you, Eric. Follow us on Twitter. We are at twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Give us a like. We do appreciate it. Thumbs up. Yeah. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, subscribe. You can do that on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace.
Or Stitcher.
Or Stitcher, exactly. You can listen to us on the go via the Stitcher app. If you've got an Android phone, I think a BlackBerry or an iPhone.
What's Zune?
Don't ask. And anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. I'll talk to you then.
Do I sound different? Luke says I sound different.
You don't sound different.
Tap
your
mic.
Just as grating as always.
Maybe.
Yeah, you're fine, Michelle.
Maybe Luke's ears are all f***ed up. Messed up.
Whoa. We're live on Roundabout Radio.
We were talking about F-bombs, so I thought I might just drop one real quick.
Awkward.
Guten Tag.
Steven.
Does anyone else in the chat room say the same thing?
Michelle.
Yes.
How's it going?
You guys sound like drag queens now.
I'll show you a drag queen.
I'll show you my Adam's apple.
I'll show you a good time. You know how much these pantyhose cost. Tuck and roll has an all-new meaning to me.
Oh, no.
From the fatherland, ich heiße Mirko Reinhardt.
Okay, and take two.
Sorry, I was on mute. And I'm not saying that.
To restart.
It's only seconds.
All right.
It's fine. Go ahead again, Mirko.
Okay.
Now he's eating something.
All right, everyone quiet.
But speaking of special treats, someone has a birthday coming up here. You're only 32 once, Ben.
Stay on 32, 29. Let's at least not tack three more years on than I need.
29.
You know,
I remember 29. Ugh. I think it was 4 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember 29
Jeff, I remember
like it was 4 years from now.
You know,
I remember when I was married three times in 1 week.
No, Craig, that is absolutely wrong. But, Ben, you know, it's your birthday, and I figured we would commemorate it with a special little treat here.
In the middle of the show when we're doing stories?
I think so. This will only take a minute. This will only take a minute, I promise.
Good radio. This is beautiful radio. I'll describe what he's doing. He's rustling something.
I got you a little gift here, Ben. I wanted you to have this. I thought it was great.
Is this My Little Pony?
It's better than that. No one would get
he's going to be so disappointed.
You know, he's
gonna
up in paper?
He's going to stab me with something sharp.
I'll point my microphone towards you. You can hear me open.
Can we zoom in?
You won't need to zoom. Once
we did have ice cream before the show.
I know. You guys did all this stuff without me.
And me.
I know. Jeff?
I'm more important.
Right, Ben sounds like
sorry,
a girl.
I just got to. This is my little kitty.
What's
oh
you
my
gonna name
God.
Her?
That is like the worst
sculpture ever, but I love it.
Hold it up for the camera.
Oh, my God. I have one like that, but it's brown.
It's huge.
It looks like a beaver.
I was naming her Esmeralda for the short term.
Oh, my Watson God. Needs Let a me friend. See his face.
It'll keep Watson company while I work.
I hope
work.
You like it, Ben.
That's beautiful. That is really.
You shouldn't have left the price tag
actually
on it,
Craig. Maybe
from the Salvation Army? I don't think so. I want to think
who
it seemed like a
cult. Who the hell donated that?
Wow.
Who the hell made
yeah, who
that
would give this
and
up?
Put it in their house?
Somebody thought that was worth a tax write-off.
Anything is worth it. You could take a bag of garbage there and write it off.
Yeah,
so
just
most people do.
Just to describe this is a gorgeous sculpture of a long-haired cat. I think it may actually be a Maine Coon.
Michelle, what is your take? You're a cat ornithologist.
Well, I have one of those almost just like that.
Wow.
It's great.
That I found at the Salvation Army, and it's painted brown.
It's plaster, so you know it's going to last.
Yeah,
this definitely belongs in my 60-year-old aunt's home.
Well, good thing you're a 29-year-old in an apartment.
I'm not your aunt.
Well, at least she took objection with something, not the age.
Oh, wow.
Well, Ben, I hope you enjoyed your gift.
Uh-huh.
I spent all of minutes picking that out. So where were we
It does
again?
At least fit the show's theme. It's so old.
Happy birthday, Benjamin.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
God bless you.